You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and it is often said that all roads lead to Rome. And in the world of cycling in London, it could also be said that all roads lead to Patrick Field. And this is the man who's going to be my guide and guest on the show this week. So where are we going to be riding today?
We're starting in West Hackney, which is where I live. West Hackney, close to Hackney Central, close to Dalston, close to Stoke Newington, but it is a kind of a region in its own right. And we're going to ride following the waterways down to the River Lea, up onto the old sewage pipe, down and take a cruise on the Woolwich Ferry if it's not too stormy, then maybe back along the north shore of Kent through Greenwich and Rotherhithe. A social trip.
Yeah. So you've described yourself in the past as the world's slowest professional cyclist. You've written a lot for bicycling magazines. You run the London School of Cycling. What's your kind of philosophy of the bicycle, and what aspects of cycling are we going to be looking at today?
I actually like travel, and my mode of choice is a bicycle, but I always think that bicycles aren't really the point. You know, talking about bicycles, fiddling with bicycles, I like to keep that to a minimum, and what I actually like to do is travel. And I suppose in a way you could say the most luxurious kind of travel is walking, because it's so simple. But when you're walking, unless you're very rugged, you need someone else to carry your luggage, and that's a management job. And even if you're not going to manage the porters, you've got to manage the person who's going to manage the porters. Whereas a bicycle gives you somewhere to hang your handbag, so you have all the simplicity of a pedestrian, and yet you fit in with the modern world in a better way. So it's the perfect form of travel in this period in history, I would say.
Well, it's an exceptionally dull and damp December Monday morning, and we're crouching under a holly bush in your front garden under the rain. And as we go along the ride today, we're going to try and duck for cover to so you could describe a few things along the way. But before we do that, let's actually get going.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City. Believe me, I am speaking broad-mindedly. I am glad to know my mother country. I've been traveling to countries years ago, but this the place I wanted to know. London, that's the place for me.
Right, well, we've just come down along an ancient route.
Yeah, it's a prehistoric line between the Lea Bridge Road and London Bridge, which are the lowest crossing points in prehistory on the River Lea and the River Thames, respectively.
So who would have been making that journey? Everybody, or people trading and travelling?
Who knows? I don't know. But it's our ancestors and wild people. You know, people who had lives of idleness, exaggeration, discomfort, and
a bicycle. Brevity.
Well, not necessarily, I don't think. I think a lot of them died, but the ones who lived probably lived quite long lives. But the nice thing about a bicycle is it really puts you in touch with your physical identity at the same time as making you an industrial product, which is, of course, what we are as well. So, you know, what we need to do, I suspect, is get back to that kind of, you know, slightly low expectation, calm life of our ancestors. And that's, you know, 99% of human history was wild mammals sitting around campfires exaggerating. And the population of London was probably about 8 people in that period. But I don't think their lives were different. But they didn't work hard. And that's the thing about, a leathery old cyclist once said to me, man wasn't meant to work. He was meant to hunt and fish and ride his bike. And, obviously he wasn't including women in that, but we can now in the modern era. And, that's it. It's ambition can be toxic. And a bike, just keeps you in the moment very nicely.
And that route skirted past the pub on the park, and the first section of the route from the pub on the park to the beach at Dunwich, and you had a hand in the phenomenon that's become the annual Dunwich Dynamo, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm one of its fathers. There's me and a guy called Jez Hastings, who, as far as I know, is running bird watching tours in Scotland at the moment, bird watching and canoeing. And it was my idea, and he was the one who said, well, let's do it. And that's how it came about.
So it wasn't a bunch of rowdy, drunken bike messengers on a Friday night who just decided to go to the beach, because that's the kind of urban legend that exists now.
Yeah, that's
Do you want to set the record straight?
No, not necessarily. I like mystery, but that is, as far as I know, off the peg mythology created by Mr. Barry Mason, who everyone's heard of.
And so what were you thinking when you thought of the ride to Dunwich in the night under the full moon?
Well, it's something to raise the ambition of everyday cyclists. For a long time, I used to ride a bike about London, but I figured that it was going too far to ride to Watford. If you wanted to go to Watford, you needed to take the train. And the moment of discovering that actually a long journey is just a lot of short journeys all stuck together was a revelation to me. And the hardest thing about riding 180 kilometers is the idea. There are technical problems to solve, but once you've stopped wasting energy on the idea of, oh my God, it's a long way, then you're free to solve the existing technical problems. So cycle sport is too hard-faced for normal people. It's full of pain and disappointment. And Eddie Merckx said, there are always more bad days than good days when you race bikes. And that's Eddie Merckx. So what about the rest of us? So it's something to raise people's ambition. It's a bit longer than your average charity ride. It takes place at night. There's no benefit to homeless pandas. It's just done for fun. But it contains both the ambition of cycle sport and the kind of hedonistic, the idea that it's a beach party. It's not about suffering, it's about having fun. And anyone who rides the Dunwich Dynamo forever after, if they live in London and they've got a bike, every night at 8:30 they can look at their watch and think, shall I go to Suffolk tonight? They never have to, but it gives them that sense of possibility.
Well, we have a very real possibility of cycling into a canal now as we ride along the canal. How long are we going to be riding along here for?
We're going to ride east to Victoria Park, and then there's a short spur called the Hartford Cut, which will take us out to the canalised version of the Lower Lee. So it's an improved river, but that's a bit misleading because there are lots and lots of River Lees. Some that were made for industrial power, the navigation that was made for transport, and then others that are to do with drainage and drinking water. So it's just a big swamp that's soon to become Olympopolis, so they say, although there's still time for it to go to Paris if they don't get it right, I suspect.
Well, let's ride along and try to avoid a watery grave. Look at this. On our right here, a rather spectacular pair of gas storage meters. Gasometers?
That's what they're called, yeah.
What?
I remember.
They just measure
natural gas.
They measure the gas.
And they store the gas.
Thank you.
So we've climbed up onto the Northern Outfall sewer pipe, which is a big embankment that runs Roman Strait southeast from the Lower Lee down across the London Borough of Newham. And it was constructed by teams of men directed by Joseph Bazalgette in the middle of the 19th century to save London from sewage and cholera and the great stinks that preceded it.
This took the shit out of London.
Yeah, that's the truth. And there's a gag, which is that one of Bazalgette's descendants is a big cheese in Endemol who make Big Brother. So whereas he took the shit out of London, they put shit into homes all across the world.
So we're riding along the top of that. There's a big pipe underneath us, is there?
Correct, yes.
And it's still operative.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, really, they should call it the brown way, not the green way.
Yeah, so there's a bicycle path along the top, because it looked a little bit to me like one of those rails to trails type things where they take an old line that was decommissioned, an old railway line that was decommissioned in the beaching era, and turn it over to a nice place to walk and bicycle. But no, this is much more exciting, a real functional sewer.
Yep.
Beneath us.
And also it's a gentle downhill. As we'll pass in a moment the Cathedral of Sewage, which was a 19th century coal-powered pumping station that pumped it up into the pipe so it could then run right down to the river somewhere, Beckton area.
And so where's the end?
The end is down near Beckton, where it used to, I think, be just discharged into the tidal river, but now there are settlement tanks and treatment tanks.
There's talk about turning human waste into some kind of biofuel to power us into the 21st century in a carbon neutral way, which I think sounds pretty excellent. They used to burn cow shit, didn't they?
They still do, I think, in many parts of the world.
Although they say that cows actually contribute as much or more than transportation to the greenhouse effect through their methane farts, but I don't know if that's just kind of propaganda by the oil companies.
Well, surely, since they're powered by grass, they should be carbon neutral, because grass fixes carbon dioxide, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think methane is particularly powerful as a greenhouse gas, so I think the cow does something to it which makes it that much more damaging than carbon dioxide.
So we're now going through the kind of Lower Lee industrial zone, which was developed late because it used to be
swamped. Oh look, and there's a burnt out scooter there. Charming sight.
Yeah, and another one ahead. It's, you do get hooligans riding scooters up and down here, but not on Monday morning when it's raining. They're all sleeping off their weekend, so we don't need to worry about that.
As well as being London's outflow sewage pipe par excellence, this also looks like a favourite spot for fly tipping of all kinds of unwanted household stuff. Fridges, old bits of bed, mattresses, a few cars, and lots of unidentifiable rubble.
Yeah, we've been diverted temporarily off the top of the sewer pipe because of the Liverpool Street mainline tracks, which we've had to go under it's taken us down into the kind of Abbey Lane area, and this is the Lower Lee, characteristic of the Lower Lee. You know, it's the stuff that people don't want to look at. Rubbish, car breaking, toxic trades. And this is all the stuff that's going to be displaced by the new Olympopolis, the new Olympic zone that they're constructing here.
This is getting ready for London Olympics in 2012.
That's correct. And it'll be interesting to see where all this stuff goes. Because, you know, it's not pretty, but you've got to break cars somewhere in London in the present economy. So be interesting, because I wouldn't want it in my garden, that's for sure.
So this is all going to be raised to the ground, or is this going to be where the athletes are actually staying?
I don't know in detail, but this will all be part of the Olympic zone. Who knows? I'm not against the Olympics, but there is a big element of land grab in the whole thing.
I mean, I suppose there's two impacts. There's all the money that's being spent on it, which I suppose could be spent on something else. And then there's the impact on, you know, the place and the landscape, and the idea of, is this the right use of land for this part of London? I think there seems to be quite a lot of people who are raising doubts about the Olympics, but it seems to have got a momentum of its own, rather like the Millennium Dome, which, you know, is a bit of a sorry story. However, you know, it is typical of us Brits to kind of gripe and moan about great projects and not have the self-confidence that we used to have, I suppose, to put these things on.
I think, you know, I would have preferred if the Olympics hadn't come to London, I think, in general, on a personal level. But the question is, what will it bring? And there are people in favour of the bid who don't care about sports, who just want to grab, you know, certainly to the north of the zone, in the northern area of the zone, there's land that was covenanted for the quiet enjoyment of the people of North East London in perpetuity. You know, it's untouchable land which is being captured for development in the rush to build the facilities. And part of that is the loss of Eastway Cycle Circuit, which is not being replaced next year because of newts at the replacement site out in Essex.
Amphibians.
Yes.
They're friends of the Mayor of London, well known as Newt Lover.
Yeah, and you can't do environmental impact assessment on newts until the spring comes. So they can't decide how newty Hog Hill out in South Essex is until the spring comes. So the pedal bikers are going to have to race on a pan flat course in the Royal Docks for a year while they're waiting to decide whether they can coexist with the newts out in Hog Hill.
Well, that'll be a bit nearer to the centre of London, won't it, in the docks?
Yeah, but there are no hills, so it won't be such fun. Whereas Eastway is very challenging, you know, lots of short, steep hills, which, you know, made it more of an athletic challenge.
And now it's just going to be a lot of drafting.
Well, I guess they'll be accelerating out of tight corners, and, you know, which is all good. But as a bit of a fat bloke who needs to work on his fitness next year, I will miss the hills.
All right, let's ride on.
Stops and a pale thin girl with eyes forlorn, gin in teacups and leaves on the lawn, violence and dull cues and a pale thin girl behind the checkout. But if you're looking for cheap salt satin, false anticipation, I'll be waiting in the photo booth at the underground station. So come away, won't you come away, we'll go to anywhere in Albion. Our yellowing classics and cannons at dawn, coffee wallers and pith helmets in non-English sun. Our Reebok classics and cannons at dawn, coffee wallers and pith helmets in an English sun. But if you're looking for a cheap tart, glint with perspiration, there's a 4-mile queue outside the disused power station. Now come away, won't you come away, we'll go to
Well, we've crossed over the A12, heading up into Essex and beyond, and now we are on back on the Greenway again. Is this still the sewage tunnel?
It certainly is, and that on the right now we can see the exuberant domes of the Cathedral of Sewage, the great pumping station that actually raised the effluent up to the height where it could flow under gravity out east to the river.
Well, the skies are getting ever more leaden, and every time I pull out the microphone, the rain seems to turn itself up a notch in intensity, although it's not exactly a downpour, but it's just a kind of insistent drizzle. There we go, look at that.
That speaks of self-confidence.
That does, doesn't it? That is a really extraordinary building. Kind of high Victorian mishmash of styles.
I think Gothic.
Yeah, but look at those Norman rounded porticos.
Yep.
I wonder what if it's got Pugin wallpaper and carving on the inside.
I think it was originally just a big industrial facility, you know, like huge steam pumps, and now I think it's they can't knock it down because it's too significant, and it's just probably they're trying to get it turn it over to community use.
Yeah, well, like the a bit like the castle, which is now a climbing centre.
Exactly.
Used to be a water plant or something.
Yeah, it was a pumping station for drinking water on the new
river. Yeah, we've just been passed by a tube train heading into town, I guess on the district line.
Central line. I'm not sure. Not my specialist subject, but I think it's the central line. I don't mind the idea of the underground, but it's not for people like us, is it?
No, indeed not.
Yeah, I think of it in the same way that John Prescott thinks about bicycles. You know, they're a good idea for other people. Fair enough, really.
And we're starting to see a few more trees all around. This interesting continuum between the urban and the, I guess, non-urban. I don't know whether you call it rural, but we're certainly going through the suburban part of London.
Yeah, this is West Ham. Because, once again, of the discontinuity of the River Lea, you know, people out here do think of themselves as living in West Ham, living in East Ham, not living in London. You know, the main park in the centre of the London Borough of Newham is Central Park East Ham. You know, it's in the centre of East Ham, it's in the centre of Newham. People don't think of themselves as a distant part of London, they think of themselves as living here.
Well, that's kind of the village structure of the fringes of London, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's particular, I think, here because of the Lower Lea being such a historical barrier. You know, it wasn't possible to cross south of the Lea Bridge Road for a long time. It was a peace line, I think, between the Saxons and the Danes 1,000 years ago. And even today, it's, you know, there isn't a nice way across it. You're either picking your way through the rubbish, as we've done, or you're thundering down the A12, which is okay, no problem cycling down there, but it's a bit alienating, you know. It's a big suburban radial highway, not somewhere where you'd linger to smell the flowers.
And here we've got playing fields which are backing onto a cemetery,
yep,
all with a quite fabulous view of the towers at Canary Wharf.
Yep, you can see Kent there. There's the dome, and soon we'll see the foothills of Kent, Shooter's Hill and Abbey Woods, all there across the river.
My name's Buffalo Bill and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance FM.
Well, this is The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM, and we'll pick up where I left off with Patrick Field heading south on the Woolwich Ferry on the next episode of The Bike Show, and whether that's going to be on Christmas Day or New Year's Day is yet to be determined by the Resonance FM schedule managers, but we'll see. Anyway, it'll appear for podcast listeners on Christmas Day and maybe go out on the airwaves of London a little bit later. Now, last week's show was looking at Christmas and Christmas stocking fillers for the bicycling-oriented Christmas shopper. And one of the things that we didn't mention, which we probably should have done, is a new invention called the Cyclair bicycle pump. And this is a revolutionary new bicycle pump which works by pulling a kind of cord towards the operator rather than pushing a pump. And it's just won the Sky One Big Idea television show, which had a prize of £10,000 that goes to its creator for further product development and marketing. And this is the prize that we talked about a few weeks ago on the show with Michael Killian, whose Sideways bike was also in the running for that prize, but he didn't win, and the Cyclair did win. So big congratulations to the Cyclair people. And it just so happens that a couple of months ago at the cycle show down in Docklands, Joe Upton and I ran into Lewis Kirkbride, who's one of the people behind the Cyclair bicycle pump, and we asked him for a little bit more detail on how it works.
It's about 6 inches long, but don't let that fool you. If you put it under your foot, when you pull the handle, you'll find that you can stand up perfectly straight and you get a massive long stroke, which moves a lot of air.
So from a flat tyre to, you know, fully pumped up tyre, how much action do you need to put into that?
Well, it's faster than most of the hand pumps. I would think for a normal bike tyre to an average kind of pressure, it might take you a minute. If you're the kind of person that needs more pressure, it's going to take you a bit longer, or if you have bigger tyres. Perhaps a maximum, say, of 2 minutes.
So it's fast. It's not as fast as a track pump.
That's
but
right.
It's faster than, the Zefal frame-mounted high-pressure pump, which is what I use when I'm touring.
Oh, yes, it's faster than that, and certainly a lot easier to use.
What do you reckon, Joe?
Well, I think...
Have a go?
I'd love to have a go.
Yeah, try it.
Okay, so I'll just put my foot underneath...
That's
where
right.
Is it? Just underneath the...
On top of the brick? On top of the foot plate there.
Okay.
Hold it quite well.
All right,
and then
you got
stand
a little
up straight and pull that handle.
Okay, you got a little pressure gauge there.
Yeah, that's handy too.
Oh, so easy. I can do it with two fingers.
Yeah, or you can change hands. You can use two hands. What you'll find is that when you start putting the pressure into the tire, it doesn't get much more difficult. Unlike a normal hand pump, where you're really fighting all the back pressure.
Because when I've seen these kind of advertised in magazines, it looks to me like it's a recipe for a kind of slip disc.
Well, no. It's actually more ergonomic. The human body's very good at pulling and kind of lifting, whereas stooping over a normal pump and having to hold it onto the tyre.
But the pulling action doesn't require you to kind of use your back, does it? It's quite light.
It's literally your wrist. That's it. It's like badminton.
Terrific. So how much do they sell for?
Well, because we launched a new product, we're able to do them slightly cheaper nowadays. So they're £17 and £20 if you want a special carry case. That straps it to the saddle or to the bike frame.
That was Lewis Kirkbride talking about the Cyclair bicycle pump, and that's a pretty good stocking filler for anyone who wants to get a loved one a bicycling-oriented Christmas present. Well, that's about the end of the show. From me, Jack Thurston, just time to say Happy Christmas and bon route for 2007. Remember, you can email The Bike Show via the email address, which is bikeshow@gmail.com, and of course all the past editions of the show are available on MP3 and real audio format, also Ogg Vorbis format for those of you who are into royalty-free compression formats, and that's all to be found at the Bike Show's website, which is www.bikeshow.blogspot.com. So, happy Christmas, a bon route for 2007, and chapeau.